Since we're having these introductory classes about Vrindavan, we wanted to read the 10 offenses to Vrindavan. They're very much similar to the 10 offenses to the holy name, and a lot of devotees, they visit Vrindavan time and again, and some devotees live here. And as we are somewhat familiar with the holy name of the Lord and trying to make a very loving and deep relationship with the holy name, we have to know who is the holy name, what is the holy name, and how to react and behave towards the holy name. So there are some do's and don'ts, and there are 10 offenses to the holy name. So similarly, the Nam, Rup, Gun, Lila, Dham, Parishishta, they're all transcendental. So as there's 10 offenses to the holy name, there's also 10 offenses to the holy Dham. A lot of people never heard of them. Probably many of the people listening right now have never heard of the 10 offenses. But they're there, and they're listed in this book. Questionable book here, but it's called Appreciating Sri Vrindavan Dham. And it mentions here, there are 10 offenses to avoid in chanting the holy name, and 10 offenses to avoid in the visiting or residing in Krishna's holy abode of Vrindavan. These are taken from Padma Puran. It says, one is to show contempt or disrespect for the guru who reveals Vrindavan Dham. So that's like the holy name. It's an offense to disobey the orders. So there's gurus involved there in the holy name, and gurus also involved everywhere. But in the holy Dham, generally they call that guru the Tirth Guru. Tirth. He reveals the Tirth. To think that the Vrindavan Dham is temporary. So that's similar to what offense with the holy name? Mundane interpretation. Yeah, imaginary is like that. Temporary, imaginary. To think that Vrindavan Dham is temporary. In other words, it's what I was saying earlier. To think that Vrindavan Dham is lokic, it's part of UP, it's part of India, it's in Mathura district, well, it's in Mathura Mandal, but it's not temporary. This whole material world is temporary, it's asat, but this Dham is Sad Dham, Vrindavan, Sri Dham. Three is to commit violence towards any of the Brijvasis or pilgrims, or to think that they are ordinary people. So even the visitors that come from Delhi or Bombay or anywhere, Chinese or Russians or whoever they come, Videshis, whatever, they're not ordinary, they're very extraordinary people. You have to think about it. Thousands and thousands of people every year get on a train called the Taj Express in Delhi, and they go to Agra to take darshan of one of the seven wonders of the world, which is known as a Taj Mahal. And they get on the train and they whiz down from quite fast, about 2 hours or so, or 2.5, I suppose. It's about 2 hours from Delhi to Vrindavan. It's a very fast train, Taj Express. I think it's from Nizamuddin station. And they go right by Vrindavan. They see it out the window. They see the Janma Bhumi out the window. Close, but not close enough. They have darshan of the Shikara. They have darshan of the temple out the window of the train. And the Janmashtami. And the mosque next to it, which looks even bigger. Red stone. Which was from the temple originally. Same stone. So this is unfortunate, although thousands of Videshis and Chinese and Russians. So those thousands and thousands and thousands of Manushanam Sahasreshu Kaschit Yadati Siddhaye, hardly one visits Vrindavan. So they're rare. How many Indians are there in India? 1 billion. And how many of them have visited Vrindavan? Hardly any of them. You may know a few of your friends, but they're rare people to begin with. There's 25 million people in Bombay. Do you think Do you think a million Bombay people have visited Vrindavan? I doubt it. Nothing. Not even 1 lakh. So it's rare. So we say, oh, what are these stupid Punjabis? What are they doing in Vrindavan? They're this, that. No, we should be a little respectful and careful and helpful to everyone. Number four is to perform mundane activities while living in Vrindavan Dham. So that means material activities. Five is to earn money by and make a business of deity worship in Harinam. To think Vrindavan Dham belongs to a mundane country or province like Uttar Pradesh. To equate Vrindavan Dham with a holy place of the demigods. To try to measure the area of Braja. I don't know if that counts when you're measuring a piece of property. He says it's 400 yards. Okay, I believe you. I'm not supposed to measure it. It just means you try to, oh, it's 168 square miles. It's 168 million square miles. You know, in the Prikamara, it's like unlimited. It goes on forever. To commit sinful acts while residing in Vrindavan Dham. To consider Vrindavan and Navadri to be different. To blaspheme the Shastras that glorify the holy name. In this case, it's Vrindavan Dham. To be faithless and think the glories of the holy name are imagination. But the tenth offense is to be faithless and think the glories of Vrindavan Dham are imagination. So to think the glories of the name or imagination, think name, form, rup, gun, lila, guru, everything that all the transcendental vastu, divya vastu, they're all. It's all to think they're to be faithless and think their glories are imaginary. That's an offense. Well, why do they say so much about guru? There's so much glorification of guru. It's not like that. It's imaginary. That's offensive. This is a wonderful book. I recommend those that just moved to Vrindavan. If they read it now, they'll see it with a new light. Leave Vrindavan. Don't be a monkey. There's a whole chapter here called Residence in Vrindavan. At least read that one. The chapter preceding it is... Oh, it says a residence of Om Vrindavan. And then, leave Vrindavan. Don't be a monkey. If one goes to Vrindavan for sense gratification or to make a livelihood, he commits an offense and is condemned. Whoever does so must be penalized in the next life by becoming a dog or a monkey in Vrindavan Dham. So drop your... We caught you red-handed with Tropicana in one hand and a pizza in the other. So drop it, hands up, drop that Tropicana and that pizza. Pick up your meat bag and kartals. Akanda Kirtan Ki. Jai. Oh, did you go to this restaurant in Vrindavan? Oh yeah, this restaurant's nice. They have all South Indian cuisine. What is this restaurant business? Go to temples, take mop. If you want to eat some fancy food, go to Radha Damodar, take prasad, go to Radha Govindaji, book the lunch, this, that. Go to all the different temples, you can book the lunch, you go there at 10 o'clock. Go the day before and say, my family would like to come and take Radha Govinda Mahaprasad at lunch. And they say, sure, how many people? And they'll make arrangements. So you want to go restaurant, you have a lust to go to restaurants because you're from the city, then go to Radha Govinda's restaurant and Radha Madan Mohan's. Then you satisfy your desire to go, eat out. Go somewhere and eat, and your wife doesn't have to cook, and it's a new place, and every temple has a unique, different taste. Unbelievable, unbelievable. Every single temple has some unique taste, because every deity has different bhav and prem. I've sampled all the hot spots. This is transcendental life in Vrindavan. You're grihasthas and you're accustomed to these things. Of course, there's Govindas there and some other authorized devotee restaurant, so to speak. That's nice, but what I'm suggesting is also quite extraordinary. What to speak of Nandagram and Barasana. Chapatis are about 18 inches across. Kadhi sauce, chapati. Oh, it's Ekadasi, yeah, I'm sorry. Everyone's doing Nirja. We can't even talk about water, what to speak about Mahaprasadam. Hari Bhakti Vilas says there's four Ekadasis in a year you should do Jagran. And not Nirja, by the way. It's a Shayan Ekadasi, an Utan Ekadasi, and Parshva. In the middle, after 2 months, when the deities roll over from, they sleep on the left side for 2 months, like us. They sleep, for 4 months, which is 8 hours. So 4 hours a night, 4 hours of the night, which is 2 months for us, they sleep on the left side. Then they get restless or whatever, and they roll over on the right side for our 2 months, which is their 4 hours. And we also sleep for 8 hours a night, unless you're like really like fired up devotee and stuff. And then you sleep for 4 hours on the left side and 4 hours. So I'm sorry, you're sleeping like the demigods, but you are not a demigod. Not even a semi-god. You ain't no god. You're Ekali Ishvara Britya. No, Ekali Ishvara Krishna Arasavya Britya. One Ishvara Krishna, everyone else is a Britya. Britya means seva, servant. So servants sleep 6 hours a day and serve for 18. And in the 4 months of the rainy season, Chaturmasi, they don't sleep. They work double time. They do double the chanting and double the reading and double the tapasya and double the charity. Because it's Chaturmasya. It's a time to please the Lord. Because when he wakes up, they bring in all these record books. They say, oh, while you were sleeping, so many good things happened. You know, Brajman, look, you know Brajman? Yeah, what? He's been doing nothing. I saw his file, nothing's going on. No, while you were sleeping, he did so much. Acha, what's the news? Acha, he did something finally. Yeah, these four months, he really got into it. He really got serious. Well, it's about time. So then he writes something on the report card. Very good, capable of doing better, and this and that, you know. Like they usually write. Could do better, this and that. C minus or whatever, B minus. So this is not the Ekadasi that you go to sleep. So we should call the directors here who wrote the Padma Puran and Ekadasi Madhvi and say, there's some illogic here. Everything else is logical, but this one Ekadasi is called Shayan. And the very Ekadasi we were looking forward to sleeping, we have to stay up all night. And I mentioned three Ekadasis out of the four, and the fourth one I can't remember. And I read it once, and I can't find that entry again. These three for sure, everyone knows that. First one of Chaturmasi, the middle one, and the last one. If anyone's staying up with us, then all the best. This is another entry about leave Vrindavan, don't be a monkey. While condemning the Sahajiyas who live in Vrindavan and indulge in illicit sex relations in the name of spiritual activities, Prabhupada glorifies the potency of Vrindavan Dham. Vrindavan is the only place where all these sinful persons can be rectified by taking birth in the forms of dogs, hogs and monkeys. By living in Vrindavan as a dog, hog or monkey, the living entity can be elevated to the spiritual platform in the next life. I remember once I read somewhere and I was told also that sins committed in Vrindavan can only be forgiven in Vrindavan, by Vrindavan. Very interesting. So even if by chance, by accident or somehow one slips and commits some sin in Vrindavan, then he may become a monkey, a dog, or a hog, because these people that become dogs, hogs, and monkeys, they live their whole life that way and die that way. They're sahajiyas from start to finish, or they're sinful gundas or whatever. So there's no rectification in this life. But someone may fall and then api chit siddharachara bhajade mamananyabhak sarariva chamantavyat. But they come back and they get really serious, and they get so serious that there's nothing else but devotion for them. Ananya bhakti, that dead serious. Ananya bhakti, And Ananya Bhakt goes back to Godhead. So we can go from the lowest to Goloka if you become Ananya Bhakta. And what is an Ananya Bhakta? What is the definition of nectar devotion of Ananya Bhakta? Thank you. Anyavilashita shunyam jnana karmadi ravitam anukulila krishnana shilanam bhakta uttama. Ananya bhakta is uttam bhakta. There's nothing. There's no. Anya means anya, means no other. Nothing else. Anya vilashita, no other desire, no other karma, conditioning, wants, anything. If one's mind is agitated by lusty desires, one should not live in Vrindavan and commit offenses. For a life of offenses in Vrindavan is no better than the lives of monkeys and hogs. There's a lot of them. The many monkeys and hogs live in Vrindavan and they are concerned with their sexual desires. Men who have gone to Vrindavan but still hanker for sex should immediately leave Vrindavan and stop their grievous offense at the lotus feet of the Lord. So this is in Vrindavan, hear from pure devotees. The cultivation of Krishna consciousness is possible where great devotees live together and constantly engage in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. In a holy place like Vrindavan, there are many devotees constantly engaged in chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. If one gets the chance to hear from the pure devotees in such a place, allowing the constant flow of nectar to come from the mouths of such pure devotees, then the cultivation of Krishna consciousness becomes very easy. That's the idea of our daily classes. The classes are there. The only question is, are you? Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai.